From the four corners of Southern California, this is The Hot Seat, and you're in it with me, Max Schwartz. It starts right now. On the phone, I have California State Senator for the 28th District and Congressman-elect Ted Lieu. How are you, Senator Lieu? Thank you very much for taking the time to call into The Hot Seat today.
I am fantastic. Honored to be on your show.
Well, thank you very much. And again, thank you very much for taking the time to call into The Hot Seat, especially because you were very busy with new member training and orientation. How is all of that going, if you're allowed to tell?
I wish I was actually sitting on a hot seat right now because it's freezing here in Washington, D.C.
Just a few notes to go over. First, I'm making the distinction that Ted Lieu is calling into the episode as Senator Lieu, not Congressman-elect Lieu. However, there are some questions that stray on the Congressman-elect side of the line, but I'm hoping those questions are answered, at least in some part, from the perspective of Senator. The interview was scheduled long before Senator Lieu won his election. Second, I want to apologize to my listeners for not putting the episode with Mayor Reardon on the Annenberg Radio News website. It is because it is too long, so I will try to keep this interview shorter. And this is my last episode of the semester, which I will get into later. So now that all that's out of the way, I've got lots of questions and not a lot of time. So without further ado, let's get started. So I want to first reflect, and your time in the California State Senate is almost over because you're headed to Congress after winning the race for Henry Waxman's 33rd district seat. When does your resignation actually take effect?
January 3rd, under the Constitution, unless they move the swearing in, and I believe they're going to move the swearing in to January 6th in Washington, D.C.
Okay, so have you been in Sacramento at all since the Senate's reconvened?
I have not. I will term out of my state Senate seat at the end of November.
Oh.
And the new senator, Ben Allen, will be sworn into the California State Senate on December 1st.
Okay. So I want to, as I said, go into reflection. What part of your time in the legislature makes you most proud?
Passing laws that have improved the lives of people in California. And so when I was in the assembly, I was honored to have authored the California Subprime Mortgage Reform Act, which took me three tries to get through, but eventually we got it through, and that reined in a lot of the predatory lending practices that caused our financial meltdown. And then in the state Senate, I was very honored to have authored the law that banned gay conversion therapy for minors. To me, it's a form of psychological child abuse, and we were able to get that through, and now New Jersey has signed a similar carbon copy of the bill into law, and then eight other states have introduced basically the same bill I introduced in California.
Okay. And what are some pieces of legislation or actions you wish or wished you would have introduced or undertaken in the legislature that you did not have an opportunity to?
There are a lot of things you can do in California because we're in the majority party. And so I've been fairly happy and pleased with the legislation we've introduced. Not every piece of legislation was signed into law, but I am pleased I've been able to introduce the issues I wanted to work on.
Okay. And moving on now, President Obama will take executive action on immigration. Do you support these reports referring to the action that the president will take?
I absolutely support President Obama taking action on immigration reform. We need it. We need to make sure that we have comprehensive immigration reform. And because the Republican Tea Party and Speaker Boehner won't allow that bill to come to a floor vote, I commend the president for doing what he can through executive action. Comprehensive immigration reform, not only will it boost our economy, it's simply a humane thing to do.
And speaking of those aspects in particular, how many Californians out of the about 5 million he's supposed to extend the action to, how many Californians does that affect?
I don't know the exact number, but California is one of the states that will be disproportionately impacted because we have a much more diverse state than, for example, the state of Iowa.
And what does this action mean for California, and will California be able to take care of all of these people once they're allowed to stay?
All of the folks who are undocumented currently are staying. right? That's exactly one of the issues. The Republican Tea Party has this fantasy that somehow we're going to deport millions of people. That's just a fantasy that's not going to happen. So let's take the people who are here, who are working hard, who are trying to make a living for their families and seeking the American dream. Let's take them out of the shadows and put them on a path to citizenship. And let's make sure we take everybody in America and give them the opportunities to do well for themselves and their families.
And will California be able to handle all of that?
We already are handling all of that, right? That's exactly the issue. It's not as if these people without documents are not here. They already are here, and they're working hard, and they're trying to make a living for their families, and they're also doing great things for agriculture sector. They're doing great things for lots of other economic sectors. It would be far worse if we were not to have people in America who were undocumented and said what the Republican Tea Party wants to do and deport all of them. That would be not only much more chaotic, it would also negatively affect our economy.
And now I'd like to get back to some topics that we talked about when you came on to my program earlier in the year. And you are still, or you, by for the time you have left, you're still a member of the Agriculture Committee. Ignoring Proposition 1 for the moment, what has the legislature done since we last spoke about the historic drought we are facing?
I'm very pleased the voters passed a water bond, which the legislature passed on a bipartisan basis earlier this year. I was a strong supporter of it, and that will help provide funding to a lot of water infrastructure, to groundwater storage, to recycling, to reuse, to conservation. All that will help California's water supply issues. It's also important that all of us continue to conserve, and especially the agriculture sector. They use up approximately 80% of the water in California, and if they could be more efficient how they use their water, that would also be helpful to alleviating the effects of the drought in California.
Okay, and now with respect to Prop 1, speaking of all of that, how does Prop 1 specifically benefit or affect Southern California?
A lot of their infrastructure is aging, and in order to make sure that water can be distributed across the entire state, we need to make sure that we need to reinvest and repair the aging water infrastructure. We also need to make sure we do a better job with recycling and reuse. And there's funding in the water bond for a variety of programs that will encourage recycling, conservation, and reuse. There's really no torque projects in this bond, and the way it's been structured is they're mostly all competitive grants. And so what will happen is you have agencies and various institutions apply for these grants, and then the best ones will get them. And so it's, I think, a very well-designed water bond that will help California for years to come.
So, for example, would the LADWP be able to apply for a grant to improve their aging infrastructure?
Yes. Yes. Oh.
And staying on the note of the DWP just for a moment, do you believe they should be fined for their waste of water that occurred because of the water main breaks?
I would have to know more about the details of that, but that does point, again, to the problem of aging infrastructure. A lot of our water distribution supply system has not been repaired for decades and decades, and we need to simply reinvest and repair many of those lines so we don't have additional water main breaks.
Okay, and continuing on to another subject we talked about, which was the creative economy. What have you done and what will you continue to do while you're in Congress to make sure the movie industry and other art sectors continue to exist in California?
I was very pleased to have been a principal co-author of the film and TV production tax credit expansion. It took our tax credit for the entertainment sector from $100 million per year for 2 years to over $330 million per year for 5 years. That's a very dramatic increase of over $1.6 billion. And I believe that will keep more film and TV productions in California. And we know that with every production kept in California, not only do we have jobs for the entertainment industry, but also there's a huge ripple effect for caterers, for dry cleaners, for hardware stores, for all sorts of other sectors that benefit from film and TV production. As a member of Congress, I'm going to look at ways to incentivize film and TV production in America, because we know we're also losing some of these productions to other countries, such as Australia, New Zealand, and England. And I want to keep more of these productions both in America and in California.
Okay, and I've got one more question, and then I'll let you get back to orientation. So we found out last week how big of the problem our nuclear stockpile was between the FedExing of a wrench between the three nuclear silos. First of all, what will you do in once you're in Congress to make sure that the nuclear issue gets fixed? And what did you? And second part is, what did you do in the state legislature that prevents the California National Guard's, I guess, armories from getting in this much disrepair?
On the California National Guard issue, I was on the California State Senate Veterans Committee. We held oversight hearings on the National Guard. I actually authored a law that put in an inspector general for the National Guard, and we cleaned up a lot of the prior abuses and fraud that were in the National Guard for many years ago. So I'm very proud to have taken a leadership role in that effort. In terms of nuclear proliferation, that is a huge and major problem. It's something that America and other allied countries need to get a much better grip on. And as a member of Congress, I will push for whatever I can do to enhance the Nuclear Nonproliferation Treaty Pact and to make sure that we don't have nuclear proliferation among the different countries.
Okay, well, thank you very much for that, Senator Liu, and thank you very much for taking the time. And I'm going to hang up the phone now so that way you can get back to whatever you're doing in Washington.
Thank you, Max.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Sure,
bye. The Hot Seat After Hours starts right now. You can email the Hot Seat inbox at thehotseatwithmaxschwartz@gmail.com, or you can tweet me at MaxSchwartzTV. As I mentioned last week, feel free to contact me about anything Hot Seat or politics related. One listener did, and I am hoping for more phone calls. Just because the Hot Seat stops doesn't mean I won't be available to talk. I'll be available through the winter recess. You can subscribe to the Hot Seat newsletter by clicking on the link on our page. Go to annenbergradio.org/podcast and click on the link underneath the Hot Seat description and enter your email address. Thank you for listening. The Hot Seat will be back next semester with lots of great guests and Los Angeles municipal election campaigns to watch. I would like to extend my apologies for starting late this semester and for not doing Skype interviews. I would like to express my great appreciation to all of the listening audience for understanding, and I'd like to do the same for the wonderful faculty and staff that make the Hot Seat possible, especially this semester when all of us are at the Annenberg School or at a time of transition. I would like to thank Annenberg Radio News faculty advisors Willa Seidenberg and Karen Lowe, Annenberg Radio News IT engineering and technical advisor Sebastian Grubaugh, and Neon Tommy faculty advisor Alan Middlestad. So good day and happy holidays.